The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed are the speaker's own and do not represent the views, thoughts, and opinions of Gallup or any other entities that Jim Collison is a part of.
You're listening to the Credit Union Leadership Podcast, a podcast that delivers value and offers up insight that'll help your credit union grow. ServiceStar has been consulting with credit unions for over 20 years, growing them in the areas of cultural development, leadership development, and management training. To learn more about what ServiceStar can do for you or your credit union, check them out at servicestarconsulting.com.
This is the Credit Union Leadership Podcast with Scott and Scott. And man, we've got an awesome guest today. Albrecht, tell us, who did you get on the show?
Jim Collison. You might know him as the voice behind the Average Guy blog. He's got his Home Gadget Geek podcast. You might know him as the guy who asks other podcasters what they need to help as the Ask the Podcast Coach.com guy. But I know Jim Collison as the dude that's been running Gallup's podcast for years. And as a certified Gallup strengths coach, I now get to call him my coach. He's a coach of coaches. He's a community manager over at Gallup for StrengthsFinders. And man, oh man, I am super excited. We got a celebrity in Jim Collison to stop by from Omaha, Nebraska for the Credit Union Leadership Podcast today.
Yeah, here we go.
Jim, I've got a story to tell you. The other day I was at a situation where I had to go to the hospital. I had something going on with me that I didn't know the answer to. And I ran into Dr. Achiever. Dr. Achiever had a full hospital. There was no room at the inn. I was sitting in the middle of an aisle on a stretch cart, and Dr. Achiever had a scalpel in her hand, and she saw a really easy solution. We remove the thing that's bothering said patient, and we send him home because we don't got room for him anyways. And then walks in Dr. Analytical. And Dr. Analytical takes a look at what's been bothering me, takes a look at the plan Dr. Achiever has, and says, we should probably do some tests. And so he goes and he does some tests. He comes back. He's still not satisfied. He wants more data. He goes and he gets more data and he comes back. He's still not satisfied. 10 hours later, they realize that what I actually had, if they were to cut open into it, would actually metastasize through my body and potentially kill me. Strengths Finders is something that I'm certified in. And now I view the world as strengths. I see like tags over people's heads as what they might be strong in. And I feel like I'll never look at the world the same as I did previous to getting certified as a Strengths Finders coach. And you, Jim Collison, you are in charge of keeping people like me on the right track. How are you doing today, Jim? Thanks for joining our podcast.
Scott and Scott, great to be here. Thanks for having me. Always great to connect and to chat about this thing. You may see I'm the Clifton Strengths Community Manager for Gallup, and yeah, my job is to wrangle the 16 or 17,000 certified coaches we have kind of around the world, create media content for them, YouTube videos, stay up to date on all the latest, what's going on in social. We have some big Facebook and LinkedIn groups. And so I kind of have the millennial dream job, but I'm a Gen Xer. It's pretty great. I like it.
That's what you get for being an activator. Do you find yourself walking through life and trying to guess what people's strengths are, knowing your role and just how close you are to this topic?
Yeah, it's a really good question. For those who don't know, right? Arranger, woo, maximizer, communication, activator. That's kind of the code for who I am, the top five, these themes that we talk about with Clifton Strengths. I've been doing this a long time, 15, 16 years, thinking about strengths. I don't know if I, to that point where I'm talking with someone and I wonder, but certainly I think through the lens of when we need to get some things done, the first question I ask is, what are you really good at? Right? Because it's awkward to say, have you taken Clifton Strengths before? And they're like, why are you asking me? So it's a good lead in to just say, hey, tell me, like, we're about to do this thing. Tell me what you're good at, or what kinds of things in here sound interesting to you. And it's kind of a little hack to get groups going faster. Sometimes you put groups of people together and they kind of struggle, especially if expectations haven't been set very well. Maybe the team doesn't have a good charter. They don't know what's expected of them. They don't, no one's given them any direction on how they should move forward. Yes, they all have maybe titles that tell them kind of what they're supposed to do, but we know not every project manager is built the same, or not every developer is built the same, or not every marketing person is built the same, right? We're all a little different. And so I really encourage in those kinds of settings with groups of people or what are teams or even families to ask that question from time to time, like, man, what are you best at, right? What do you do really well? Have that conversation first, sharpen the axe, so to speak, before you start whacking the tree to cut that thing down.
You know, that actually gets me thinking a question I have for you, Jim, since you coach people and learn how to, hey, what are you good at? What are you passionate about? A TV show I really love is called Survivor. Have you ever heard of that show?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, yeah.
So the problem I see that happens in this show a lot is they say, so in Survivor, you're stuck on an island. You compete against other teams to try to win $1 million. And you compete in these games. And usually what happens is like, hey, what are you good at? I'm the social person. Hey, what are you good at? I'm really, athletic. Oh, I'm really good at puzzles. And they go, all right, they said they're really good at puzzles. Let's put them on the puzzle challenge for us. And they go and they do the puzzles and they suck.
Oh, yeah.
So right. My question is, when you ask, and I'm thinking about credit union leaders, they've got their team in and they're learning, hey, what are you really good at? Or what are you excited about? Have you seen in your experience from coaching and working with a bunch of leaders, could this be a false perception that people have? And how do you know? How do you redirect?
Yeah, Scott, that's actually a really good question. I'm not sure I've had anybody ask me that in that way before, and it's a really good question. So we have these terms, I'll do it in the terms of mine, right? This arranger, woo, maximizer. We'll stop at those three. Okay. This woo, this winning over others, it's a sales theme, right? And technically I should be a really good salesperson. And so if we would just stop at that and say, okay, Jim, you're good at sales. We'll put you on the sales team. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, I'm good at some parts of sales. Like I'm good at the influencing side of sales. I'm good at the creating marketing and movement of people. I'm good at wrangling large groups of people to do something. But I'm a terrible closer. So Scott, the answer to your question is, it still takes some self-awareness you have to ask yourself the question, what have I been successful with in the past as well? What kind of things have gone well for me? Just because I've been granted these 5 or 34, if you bought the full 34 report, just because I've been granted with these words doesn't mean the word itself is going to describe what I am best at. And so there's a element of self-discovery in this and self-awareness, right? To be able to say, and you know, if your whole life you've been told you're a great salesperson and you're a great closer and you're not, that still doesn't make you a great closer. So for me, I didn't realize that maybe till about 10 years ago. Could I put that in my head to be like, and I was a mortgage loan officer. I mean, I have a banking background too. Okay. I worked in banking for 17 years before I came to Gallup, right? And for 5 of those years, I did mortgages. I was terrible at them. I could get to the point where I got them to sign up and got them all their information and stuff, but all the details and all the things that have to come together to get a mortgage closed and to actually close the thing, I couldn't do. I was terrible at it. When it comes in this, when you're selling something to somebody, say you're a car salesperson, and you go to sell them a car, at some point you have to say, you're gonna buy this thing. I can never get to that point. I just kind of want to keep talking about the car. I went, this car is great. You should buy this car, right? So I know I'm a terrible closer. And so in my roles, I've tried to put myself in situations, especially when on teams, if we have to close or the deal needs to get signed, I start looking around for help. I start saying, all right, guys, I'm not good at this. You have to. But in years past, I might not have had that awareness. So, Scott, self-awareness is a giant part of this. Yes, the nice thing about Clifton Strengths is we get to the terms pretty quick, right? Oh, okay, I've got some idea who I am. then we need to spend some time. This is why we have all these coaches around the world, right? It's their job to help tease out these, hey, here's the magic of these for you. But you have to ask the question, where in the past have I been successful? If you don't have good self-awareness, there's no tool that's going to help you. You got to kind of look around and be like, where have I been successful and how has that worked, right?
Man, that was worded beautifully. I didn't even know what the answer would be when I asked that. It makes me think, so I used to be in a rock band. I'm looking at this guitar. You know, I could think of, all right, guitar as my category, you know? But with the instrument of guitar, there's so many sounds that could happen. So this idea of woo, you should be good at sales. Oh, guitar, you should be playing rock and roll music. Well, maybe not. Maybe I'm playing Latin music, classical style. Maybe I'm playing more blues. Like there's so many sounds within this, and you got to find what your sound is what I'm hearing you say. Would that be
maybe
correct?
You're a rhythm guy. Maybe you're the lead guitar guy, right? I mean, all those things are true. The key to it is to know, where do I win most of the time? Like, where am I successful? And that's probably a better word to use, is where in the past have I been successful? We have students who take this assessment in college, and then we kind of recommend, you know, depending upon where they're at and the growth they've had, they may want to take it again when they get a little bit older, because some things may have changed. And did they change? Did their physiology change? Did their brain change? Well, maybe a little bit. But they've had so many more experiences in those 10 years. I mean, think about what going from 20 to 30 does for you. Yeah. I had a college professor tell me, Jim, everything's practiced before 40. And it was a really nice, like it was kind of a nice, in other words, he tried to take some of the pressure off me. Mm-hmm. I was young and married and going to college and trying to do all these things and start a career. And he was kind of like, just relax and learn some things. You know, you've got plenty of time in your career to figure this stuff out. The podcasting stuff that I do now, I didn't even come to until I was in my early 40s. And so, and it's never like when I was 20, I thought, I want to grow up and be a podcaster. It wasn't even a word yet when I was 20, right? So I didn't have any aspirations for it. I just knew if I could put myself in some positions to be able to do what I do best. And I like doing this. And I've gotten some really good positive feedback that, Jim, that works really well for you. So I keep rolling with it until they tell me to stop.
It's a great honor and a privilege to be able to speak into people's lives. And so the people that we're talking to right now, they work at credit unions, and their job is to improve people's financial wellness. But anytime that you take imperfect people and you put them into a room together, there's friction, there's misunderstandings, there's miscommunication. And so where I've been able to use strengths as an application for credit unions is in this team building categorization. It's one thing to build up yourself and have good self-awareness, but it's another thing to actually share that with somebody and have them have a descriptor for you, if you will. Share with me and the audience, if you will, where have you seen strengths as a crucial element for understanding somebody else?
Yeah.
Maybe a new member of a team or maybe someone you've got some friction with that you just don't understand why they're doing things a little bit differently than how you would do things.
Yeah. Scott, you said that really, really well. The self-awareness is the first step. The individual work is the first step. You can't get to step two without step one. So you have to spend some time getting to know yourself, figuring these things out, knowing how to talk within the framework. If we think of the 34 themes as this lexicon, this framework to work from. But the real power is when you put two or more people together, and I alluded to this a second ago, but where you get a team set up and you have a framework, you have instructions. Like you put two people together with different backgrounds, they could spend hours, dozens, 50s of hours trying to figure themselves out. The magic of the CliftonStrengths framework is, if you understand the concept and the settings, we make it pretty easy. I mean, we use words like includer, analytical, deliberative. They kind of make sense just looking at them. Now, woo is a little bit different. You got to read into that one a little bit, right? But still, we have these standard definitions and these ideas around it. You can very quickly, the three of us could sit together, take our top five and compare them, and then start having conversations to say, hey, you know, I'm pretty good at this, or I bring this to our group, but I need these kinds of things, right? We can get to that conversation, one, super fast, because we already have a framework, speeds that up. Two, it takes the personal, you know how sometimes those conversations get a little dicey, a little personal, like, hey, these, we know these themes are neutral. And we also know that everybody's got them. So it's not a personal thing. It's how I was built kind of thing. And so you can quickly, without having to apologize or get around things, start having some really productive conversations about, because we all want to just be successful, right? We all just really want to be productive. That's kind of what, you get to the end of a day and you had a productive day, feels pretty good, doesn't it? You get home and you're like, man, I killed it today. That feels super good. Well, in a team setting, you can get to that faster. Still requires some work and some conversation and little coaching and some of those kinds of things in there. But you can get there much, much faster in a framework that is not personal, in the sense that these aren't negative things about you. These are the best things about you. And then help those teams succeed.
So one of the strengths that I bring is communication. And sometimes that means you're a good storyteller. Sometimes that means you're a good story writer, right? And I'm a horrible writer.
Yeah. Me too. Me too, by the way, Scott. Me too. Me too.
I thought you were about to say, hey, I just wrote a book. A great novel. Go check it out.
I wrote a book and I brought in a co-author because I knew I was a horrible writer, right? What I'm good at is analogies and metaphors. Yeah. I'm good at explaining really complex things in a way that a kindergartner could understand. Yeah. And so,
which I appreciate for me.
Yeah. So teams with human beings are very dynamic things. Yeah. And what I just heard you say, and I'll say it in a different way because that's my superpower, is you use the word framework. I'm going to use the word culture. If we've got a common language, right? If we have a common set of words that we can quickly get to this, to a understanding of what makes you you, it takes a couple of the things that get in the way out of it. First and foremost, our blindness to what we are. Like if I were to say, hey, describe yourself, hardest question to answer, right? Because you're like, right? But yeah, if you've got strengths, you can quickly get five words out of your mouth that associate you with something that somebody has a common language around. Yeah. So people ask me all the time, and I'm sure they've asked you too, strengths, Myers-Briggs, right? DISC. You know, what's the best? And I always say the best is when you have a common language. That's the best. Like I would recommend you don't do all three. I'd recommend you pick one so that you have a common language, because the goal is to have that common language of the culture so that you can go faster. As I unpacked that for you, what did you hear? And would you add anything to that?
Well, actually, I'd go back a little bit. Scott gave a clue to what you said. When you were talking about how you communicate, you do that, you don't write. I could see the other Scott, his face kind of lit up like, I recognize that. We know that. We're going to do some things to protect you from that, right? I'm in the same boat. I told my teams here, I also have communication high, right? That's number four for me. And I told my teams here as I was joining the marketing team, don't let me write things. Like I am best one-on-one, having a conversation, or in groups of people having a conversation. Actually, for me, the bigger the group, the better it is. And that's where I'm best. So use me there. And they were like, that's great, because we have folks who love to write, and they'll write all the copy you need anytime you need it. That's awesome. I am never going to write a book. I've said that. That's just not my favorite thing to do. And so I put myself in these situations. Then one other thing, Scott, you said, about the speeding up the language. As you were saying that, I have partners in Brazil who speak Portuguese, and we get together. I do a podcast with them. I start in English, they translate it, and then they go off full in language. Then I get to come back in. It's kind of fun, but I know their top five. And so think about this. It's in another language, and I understand one of them has empathy. And so that is that's a super powerful strength to know. She couldn't explain that to me. She speaks English, but there's no way. It would take hours for her to explain that to me. But because I know she has empathy and it's translated that way, we've translated it into a bunch of different languages. I can come up to speed, not just in English, but in, you know, I do podcasts in German and in French and in Spanish and Portuguese and Japanese and Mandarin. We had been doing them in Arabic. Those terms are fairly consistent across the languages. Now, they all carry a little bit of nuance based on culture. Even in the United States, words mean different things in different parts of the country. So you need to have some clarification of it. But think how powerful that is to be able to run into somebody from Japan and be able to have this conversation with them. If you can speak the language, both would have to speak one of the languages. But imagine how fast you could come up to speed on that. So it's super powerful from a conversation tool. It's super powerful from a teaming tool. Scott, I don't know if I answered your question, but that's what came to mind as you were saying those things.
Yeah, there's a couple questions I always get, right? That's one of the questions is, you know, one's better, Myers-Briggs, right? So
the one you're using, listen, the one you actually use is a good one.
It's a really good one.
We love Clifton Strengths, one, because we sell it, but two, it's got tons of research behind it. But so if you just think of Myers-Briggs or DISC, so do they, right? But you're right. I mean, the one you use is best. Now, Clifton Strengths can work with any of those. Some of them are like, think of DISC. It's a little more general, right? It's easier. We have some domains that kind of do that, right? Our themes group up into these domains that kind of do that. But you can still have, if you know your Clifton Strengths and you're talking to somebody who has DISC or Myers-Briggs, you can still have this conversation around strengths, and you can still start with, what are you really good at? And let's get to the heart of that. So it's not a battle or what's best. I think the best one is the one you're actually using.
I like that answer. That's a good answer because that's the answer I've been given. So now I can now say that I've been given the right answer. I got another question I want to run by you that I get asked all the time. So we go into organizations and typically they have symptoms, and the symptoms are not the problems, right? So, you know, they say, we don't have employee accountability. We need to hold our employees more accountable. What, you know, name the issues. And I'll say, how's your trust? Right? And typically they don't want to go down that path, but it's the organizations that haven't taken time to do something like a Strengths Finders that don't have trust. And that leads to other dysfunctions within the team. If we go to Patrick Leonioshi's research on this, we see that there's a trend, right? No trust, no honest feedback, no honest feedback, no buy-in to the goals that we set. And then there's a lack of an accountability that comes out of that. And so I want to go do team building activities. And one of the questions I always get is, isn't this just fluff? Isn't just the nice to have? I mean, it's not everyone in the room. There's usually like one person in the room that looks at Strengths Finders just like, oh, I've done this 20 times in my 20 years of working at ABC company. This is just another one of those trust falls, right? How do you respond to somebody like that?
Yeah, we have a philosophy of name it, claim it, and aim it. And often, you know, name it is for what it is. I describe, you know, who, what it is, what it does. Claim it is I own this. Aim it is I'm going to do something productive. That's the quick, the down and dirty of it. Oftentimes where it gets super fluffy is when we get stuck in the name it, and name it. If the three of us are just going to sit around and talk about these themes and what they are, what they could be, or how they work in us. I mean, that self-discovery is nice. But unless I actually take some ownership for it and say, yep, that's me, what I'm good and maybe not so good at. And then the really important part is I actually pointed at something. Once you start doing that, it's hard for it to be fluff because that's where the rubber meets the road, right? That's where the actual stuff kicks in. This is where a lot of people get stuck. Listen, you just talked about those other tools. You get stuck in those tools too. I can name Enneagram numbers. I can name colors. I can make up my own system. If you don't actually do anything about it, it's not going to make a difference. So the aiming at part is super important. It's like, okay, like in goal setting, you know, how am I going to take these themes? What am I going to do with them? And then I actually have to set some goals. I got to aim them towards something. So if we're getting together and we're talking about ourselves and how we're going to work together, but we don't actually set any goals and set some some action items, doesn't matter what you're doing. That's typically, Scott, where it becomes fluff, where people are like, oh, I've heard us. Listen, it's really, really fun. Feeds the body with a lot of endorphins when you're talking about this stuff, because you're talking about you and how great you are. And yeah. Like, oh, I am so great. You know, and the endorphins are just flooding in your body. And you're like, I don't ever want to stop this. Not as many endorphins when it's like, I actually have to do something. You know, my taxes are due. As we're recording this, it's the 3rd of April. I've got 12 days, right? It doesn't matter how great I am at doing taxes. If I don't actually get them done, the government's going to penalize me, right? Mm-hmm, That's the hard part, is actually getting things done. So you got to actually do some action planning.
So for those of you who aren't watching the video of this podcast, Scott Anderle lit up like a Christmas tree. I recently did a team building exercise using strengths at our company, Service Star Consulting. And that's exactly what he said at the very end of it. This is nice. How do we do something with it? So he just tickled his fancy. Yeah, I just saw
it. I didn't even think about that.
He said that.
Well, what I was lighting up about, I loved what you said, the name it, claim it, aim it. Yeah. And I'm thinking about our listeners. So we've got, there are people listening to this podcast that they are the director of HR, they're a director of a branch or IT. We've also got aspiring leaders that are tellers, MSRs, or they're working in marketing, but they're not at a leadership level position yet, but they aspire to be because they believe in the mission of the credit union, which is, and well, you're familiar with it. It's improving the financial well-being of all our members.
Love credit unions.
So what I'm hearing you say is, all right, this is valuable stuff and it feels good to do. It feels good because we love talking about ourselves. It's valuable. This is like, isn't this nice to know about ourselves? Mm-hmm. So we've talked about this. Now, can we spend more time talking about how does it look as a credit union leader to claim it? And then I imagine aiming it would be, what are all our strengths and how can we achieve the mission of improving the financial well-being of our members? Mm-hmm. And we'll get there, but what does claiming it look like? If I'm a leader of a team that's member facing or a leader of a team internally, what are practical steps for claiming it?
Well, I think it depends on the role. So it's going to be really, really hard. I mean, I have to stay fairly generic on that.
Yeah, do it.
But, you know, okay, I was on our credit union. We have Gallup Federal Credit Union here. And I was on that board for a lot of years because my banking experience asked me to be on the board.
Yeah.
Ironically, this job got in the way of me staying on the board, so I had to drop from it. But when I was on the board, I saw my goal was to do everything I could to expand the reach of that credit union. That's the job of being a board member. Yes, we have some fiduciary responsibilities to make sure the credit union is doing things correctly. Those back end boards, and we're helping the folks, the leadership of the credit union. We're supporting them on that. But I really saw, well, and maybe because I see my world through a marketing lens, like that's how I see the world. And so the aiming part for me was, how do I put myself in a position at Gallup? Those are the members we serve. How do I put myself in a mission at Gallup so I can be in front of people, making sure they understand the mission and purpose of the credit union, what's available to them there, and why they should do it, right? We have lots of things just beyond checking and savings and, you know, car loans. We didn't do mortgages for the longest time. They started doing them here. Then we're a private company. We have internal stock, and we started doing some stock purchase plans for them through the credit union, which are super favorable. It's a great way to get ownership in the company here at Gallup. And so my job was strictly to be a salesperson, to be an influencer. That's what we say now, influencer, right?
Yeah.
To be an influencer inside the company. And I'd go around, I would do road shows and talk to people, and I'd meet with different teams to do that. Certainly there's folks in the credit union that do that, but I do it really well, and I didn't work for the credit union. So it was like, people would be like, oh, okay, this isn't his job. It must be close to the truth in some regard, right? So that was me. So you think about your leaders or even, you know, I remember when I started as a teller, and I struggled to balance my drawer every day because I was trying to sell from the line all the time, and I'd lose track of stuff, right? I should have seen it coming then. As I moved through positions, I realized, yeah, okay, that's probably not the greatest place for me to be. I need to be aiming my talents in a direction that's more beneficial to the goals of what we're trying to do here. Mm-hmm. I actually did some things as a teller to set myself up to protect the customer and me. So I had some rules that I would say, okay, I don't say anything until the transaction's done, right? Till I've gotten a transaction. And I might even double check that transaction before I try to influence them in any way. That awareness, that aiming at a personal level, it took me a lot of work. And I'm not even going to say I was that successful at it, because eventually I moved on to doing mortgage loans, which I didn't like, until I moved away from that role altogether and found this one. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, Scott, does that get us close as far as, you know, thinking through, hey, what am I actually going to do in my day-to-day? Because this is where the rubber meets the road. I mean, we get all these strategic plans and that's great, but strategic plans only get done in the day-to-day work. Mm-hmm. How am I going to actually be consistent or not be consistent, be flexible? There are roles, and you think like a customer support role, they thrive we have this term called adaptability, right? Different person, different call, different problem. Do you want somebody who wants a structured day every day in customer support where the problems are different all the time, right? Some of those themes lend themselves to that. And yet there are some things in customer support where consistency is important. So someone with those kinds of talents can do that as well. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does. So what we've talked about, naming it, who you are, your top five strengths. You've talked about, all right, claiming it, saying, all right, this is what this looks like in my life. These are the problems. And I love the example you gave us when you start off as a teller. You realized you went back to that woo thing, saying, hey, I woo, naturally, I should be a good salesman. I want to tell people about products that I know will help their life. Mm-hmm. But because I lean into that, I may struggle with not doing the transaction correctly. Yep. So what you're doing is, if I'm hearing you correctly, you're aiming it. You're saying, all right, this is what I'm good at, and this is also what I'm weak at. So these are my rules, my boundaries, my rail guards that I've set up so I can best serve my member. Is that, am I hearing you right?
Right on. I'm protecting myself or getting help in that area. You know, knowing that it's some, like, certainly when your drawer doesn't balance and it takes an hour to figure out where it went wrong.
That money, yeah.
Your fellow employees around you, they were not very happy. So I was not creating a good team environment, right?
Yeah.
And so I talked to them. I would spend time, hey, how do you do this? Like, teach. I was young. It was my first real professional job outside of the military. And so I asked some questions, like, tell me what to help me with. What kind of suggestions do you have? How could I do this better? There were some folks that I worked with that were really, really good at it. And they would say, Jim, I don't know if we can teach you that because you're just not wired that way, right? But there's some things we can do to protect you from that. Now, like I said, eventually I moved on from some of those roles that required that kind of accuracy. However, listen, every job requires, you know, like, yes, I don't like to do timesheets, but every job requires, almost all of them require some kind of timesheet reporting. Mm-hmm. Does that mean I can say I'm bad at it and I'm not going to do it? No. I have to find a system. So I put it on my calendar first thing Monday morning, 30 minutes, I block it out, do your timesheet, Jim. And I'm just an adult and I just go in there, finish the timesheet, and then maybe set up some things. The other thing I know I'm really good at is rewards. I like to get rewards. So mm-hmm. when I finished something I don't like doing, I have these morning chores that I do every day, just things I have to do daily that I just don't particularly like because I set up rewards. So I can't get my second cup of coffee because we have some sweet coffee machines here.
Yeah.
Can't get my second cup of coffee until I've finished my morning chores, something like that, right? Put those things because I know I'm better if I've got a reward at the end. So for me, again, some people say, Jim, that's super childish. Yeah, but it helps me get the job done, right?
Yeah.
Whatever it takes to get it done is kind of, for me at least, is what I have to do.
Talking to Jim Collison, Clifton Strengths community manager, friend of the podcast, my coach. He's a coach of coaches, and he's also a credit union former board member and a big fan of credit union industry. We're going to pause for a commercial break and we'll be right back with Jim Collison.
ServiceStar Consulting announces the new employee bundle. Three classes for the price of one. Your employees are going to get three great classes. They're going to get Credit Union PhD, where we talk about the history of the credit union movement and how the People Helping People movement got started. This is going to be the groundwork for our next two classes. Service Excellence, which is one of my favorite, talks about how to deliver that Chick-fil-A-like level service to our members where they know we care about them. And that's not all. We even give you a third class, which is Becoming a Sales Champion, where we're focused on sales the way it should be, helping people. And we talk about skills to present products to our members so they know that we care about them and their needs. This is the new employee bundle, three classes for the price of one. Go in the show notes and click the link and look at these classes for yourself. Again, it's called the new employee bundle by ServiceStar Consulting.
And we're back. We picked up last talking about how do I aim this thing? And it reminded me, Jim, of a conversation I recently had with a group of leaders. I said, I learned on my last day at work that I should have played every day as if it was my last. And I learned that the last day of work, as I was hanging up my cleats, I felt bad for the days that I kind of mailed it in. Like, I felt bad for the days that I didn't leave it all in the field. And if I would have just gone to work thinking about the last day of work, I would have been so much better. And so I'm going to urge you to do that. And they said, Scott, that's great. How do I do that? And I said, some things in life you have to set a rail up for. Some things in life you just have to make a rule for. So whether that's you put a post-it note in front of your desk, you set up an Outlook calendar reminder, right? So you just kind of gave us some rules that you've given yourself for things that you know are going to be important for you as you kind of self-reflect. And I think the name it, claim it, aim it is a great skill as well for leaders to occupy in that one-on-one time and really focus in on, tell me, what's one way that you can aim this strength? Like, what's one way that you can take this strength and given the responsibilities that you've got here at this, you know, credit union, how can you do this differently? I think there's power in having the employee come up with that solution and ownership that maybe comes from that claim it that really drives that behavior a lot faster than if I were to say, you know what you should try to do? You should try to, you know, put a post-it note on, you know what I mean? Like, so what you were saying about you yourself putting up guidelines, I think was helpful. And if you could just speak to how does a leader get somebody to do that for themselves? Yeah. How does a leader influence that conversation?
It's a super great question. What's that saying? We overestimate what can be done in a day underestimate what can be done in a week. You know, in other words, sometimes we bite off more than we can chew for short periods of time. And I think sometimes these areas of productivity get that way where we try to solve a whole year's worth of problems on January 1st, you know, and it's like, and then of course you're like, I got nothing done today. And it's like, well, maybe you shot a little too far. You know, and I love, Scott, what you said of taking one idea and like, hey, what's one thing that I could do this week? Fill in the blank on the duration, whatever works for you. But what's the one thing I can do that's based on success that I've had in the past where I know I'm successful? And how can I do that more this week? Right. And then the next week, do that again and maybe think about adding something else to it. Or think of like, oh, that was great, but how could I do even more of it? You hear a little maximizer in that for me.
Yeah.
Right. So I think for leaders, I think sometimes we get stuck in a bind where we only get a certain amount of time to do strategic planning. We do it. We maybe do too much of it because we don't get a lot of time to do it when we do it. Then when we do it, we got all these things to fix. And then we try to go out of the gate just firing. I mean, you just got guns blazing coming out here. We're changing everything, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't want to do the opposite of do nothing, but I think we got to set some realistic expectations. And this is where I think strengths can help is say, hey, how am I wired? How's my team wired? What can they handle? What can we realistically do? And then why don't we ask them what they can do? Like, instead of just telling them what to do, maybe we could ask them in these setups, hey, on the strategic plan, we have this. We want to do 30 car loans in a month next month. We start saying, how are we going to get there? And who has some ideas based on what they've done and been successful with in the past on getting this done. You know, maybe there's somebody who's responsible. Maybe the person up front is, you know, you're thinking your teller will be the one, hey, do you need a car loan? You know, they're doing a cross sale or something like that. And really what all you need is a quick little graphic in the lobby that highlights this, something somebody would ask. They would ask a question of this thing. Well, maybe you got a graphics person that you didn't even know you had, right? But you didn't ask. So I think as leaders, sometimes we have to ask those questions before we go, hey, we're going to do this thing. What are some ideas? Doesn't mean we're going to do them, but what are some ideas based on some things you've done in the past where you might have success? And think outside of that. Yeah, I was hired for this. I mean, listen, 17 years ago, I was hired to be a technology manager at Gallup, right? But through a series of events of doing some recruiting and then starting internship programs and then us deciding we were going to do this Clifton Strengths coaching thing globally, the opportunity was there. And I said, hey, you know, I got this really cool thing. It's called a podcast. And it would be a great way to keep everybody in the world in sync for free. And they said, it sounds great, but what's a podcast? Right. And nobody even knew what it was yet for the most part. But it was me putting myself out there saying, hey, I see this problem. I have a potential solution for it. We both as leaders have to ask and create an environment where those things can happen. And as individuals, we have to feel safe enough that we can speak up and say, yeah, I know you hired me to do this, but you know, I could also do this for you, right? That's really, really, in some structured environments, that's really, really hard to do, but it's amazing when it happens, I think.
Autonomy. There's definitely some research on autonomy with, you know, applied pressure, working out to get better gains. And you said something about strategic thinking and strengths that I want to go back to because, you know, you got hired at Gallup to do technology. I get hired just like Gallup gets hired to go help out credit unions. And a lot of times that's a strategic planning session. Mm-hmm. And what do we do in strategic planning sessions with boards for 2 days? Strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats. Have you seen a parallel of going at a SWOT analysis and saying, you know, well, we could talk about strengths or we could talk about strengths? I think that'd be a great way to generate insights about the organization outside of your traditional SWOT strengths that we
look at. Yeah. And I don't consult in that way. So I don't have a lot of experience in doing that. You know, my roles have been a lot of media, but in theory, right. What you get paid to do is to go in and help those organizations think differently. Right. And to think they've thought one way and your goal is to say, hey, how do we, you know, if you're using a SWOT analysis to get it done, awesome. You know, those strategic planning sessions can also be endorphin feeding times when you talk about all the things that could be, you know, we could do all these things and you're like, oh, this feels great. More of what could be. And what we really need is more of what can be, you know, what can we actually do? And then at the end of the day, how are we going to actually do it? Mm-hmm. Right. Cause it's so easy to walk away from those things and not, and then we're like, well, it was too hard. Right. You got to break it down. So now how the organization does it may be defined by the makeup of their leadership or how it's organized or the strengths that folks have in the organization.
How can people learn more about you? Pitch your products. Let us know what you got. This is amazing. People are amped up on you. Where do they go to get more of you?
Yeah. To get more information on Clifton Strengths, super easy. Just go to gallup.com/Clifton Strengths. We've got a whole page full of the history and how you do it and what it looks like and some of the benefits of it. If you want to go out there, lots of great stuff out there, $25 for an assessment. If you want to get all 34, it's $60. So fairly inexpensive to go out and get that.
Definitely well. Worth it. Definitely worth
for sure. Well, yeah. When you think about, you know, what you spend on a cup of coffee today, these days,
yeah,
you know, or eating out, like it's gotten expensive. All of a sudden, that price seems pretty reasonable. So you can do that out there. Scott mentioned Ask the Podcast Coach. I do that with Dave Jackson Saturday mornings, askthepodcastcoach.com. And then I actually do a tech podcast as well, because that's not enough things that I have to do. So if you head out, to homegadgetgeeks.com, we spend some time talking about gadgets and tech stuff. So those are how you find me. You can find me on LinkedIn. That's probably where I am the most. I spend a lot of time on Facebook, but LinkedIn, Jim Collison, it's hard to miss me.
So nice having you on the Credit Union Leadership Podcast. Your breadth of knowledge on credit unions was a surprise, to be honest. I've met you a couple of times. We've talked about podcasting because we're both nerds. Your buddy, Dave Jackson, raked me over the coals when I had my ice fishing podcast 10 years ago. And
that was him. All right.
But he's a good dude, right? Like you guys on Saturday mornings have asked the podcast coach. And so there's just so much we could ask you about. So instead of asking you anything, I'm giving you the last word. Oh. I'm giving you the opportunity to say something to the credit union leaders that you'd love to share with them.
Yeah. I think last word on this, and as I'm thinking about credit unions, credit union leaders, the what's stacked up against them and some of the pressures they have. We know from the Gallup numbers, right? We know that the engagement, which is really important. I mean, strength is important, but doesn't work if your employees aren't engaged. They're not engaged in what they're doing. None of this stuff works. So you got to make sure you've got some kind of system for engagement, and then you know where they're at. But as you're thinking about leading them, leaders, their engagement is tied to your performance. Mm. And I think sometimes we forget about this when we get into these senior leader positions. We think it's all about strategy and all about boards, and we think it's all about that stuff. It's actually more about the employees than it's ever been. And so you need to make sure you're doing things to be engaged and know who they are. The key to all of this is recognition, just to be honest. Like if you're not doing things to recognize people for doing good work, they'll just find another place that does, right? And then we know turnover creates a ton of costs and all those things. And especially in the banking or in the credit union world, you put a lot of training into people to make sure they can do the things that they need to do with your systems, your processes, the things that you do, right? They're very, very valuable to you. So managers, I know the pressure's on you. One, make sure you're getting yourself in a spot where you can be healthy, right? Good well-being, make sure you're healthy. Because if you're not healthy, the folks that you're leading, they can't be healthy either, right? You're going to struggle in areas. So take care of your own personal health, both professionally and physically. And mentally from that. So we got a lot of pressures going on right now. So make sure you're taking care of yourself on that. And then spend some time, carve out some time. You can't afford not to spend some time getting to know people. And one of the quick ways to do that is through this Clifton Strengths Assessment. You can spend some time. It just speeds that up a little bit. Don't think it's like we say some words and some things. So a lot of people say maybe it's like a horoscope or whatever, but it really is a great way. Don't get caught up in that stuff. It's all about people, right? None of this stuff happens if we're not good to people. And so do everything you can. Scott, you mentioned this, leaders, we have this book, Strengths-Based Leadership, where we talk about these four needs of those that we lead: hope, stability, compassion, and trust. And those should be four words that are just written on your desk or tattooed to your hand. And when you're making decisions, you say, hey, is this decision bringing hope, stability, compassion, or trust? And if it's not doing any of those, stop doing it, right? And so I think, Scott, with that, I'll wrap it.
Man, Jim did not disappoint. I was shocked with his credit union knowledge. What about you, Albrecht?
You were giddy. You were smiling the whole time. I saw you bouncing up and down in your seat.
Yeah.
You were just like, if you guys are watching the video, man, like watch Scott Anderle's reaction to anything Jim said. Jim would open his mouth and it was just gold. But one thing that got us both kind of giddy is when he told us he was a credit union board member. I mean, what? How did we miss that in our pre-interview prep? Apparently not everything that Jim Collison's ever done's on LinkedIn. And he didn't share a bio with us, but that was... Man, he's more into this industry than I had previously had thought. I knew he'd help credit unions with strengths. I knew he had talked to credit unions on their podcast before, but never in a million years would I have thought that he came up in the banking industry. And he actually was on the board for the credit union they have there at Gallup. So, wow, what a great guest to have on the Credit Union Leadership Podcast.
And what I would say about that is he gave us great actionable steps as aspiring leaders. If you're someone that wants to move into leadership at your credit union, and also he gave you very practical steps if you're a current leader. We teach a class called Vertex, and in Vertex, we have a whole course just dedicated to team building. Some of you may be listening to this episode because you just got out of the team building course and we sent you this episode, because this episode is the deep dive of how do you do the grow model? How do you get to know each other? Because he even talked about it today. He was talking about if you spend time really getting to know what are you passionate about? What are you strong at? What are you good at? This is going to help you so much in communicating with your team. It's going to help you create boundaries as you aim your team towards the goal of how do I improve the financial well-being of our members? So I think when he talked about name it, claim it, and aim it, that is important for us to do as aspiring leaders of what are my strengths? And the link to take the Strengths Finder test is in this podcast, take it. But I think that was really important for us to know ourselves and how to use this to better our movement. And then using this name it, claim it, and aim it to inspire your team to live out the mission of the credit union, I think was a huge, practical, great takeaway. And how he talked about him being a teller and not being great with details and the strong parts of his woo personality and the weak parts. It was just fascinating. Albrecht, anything else or anything from that that you were like, this is a great takeaway for credit union leaders?
Well, he closed with one thing. It's all about the people. And really, you know, we're people helping people. That's the credit union philosophy. And so when you take your Strengths Finders assessment, I want to know about it. I would love to coach you. I'm going to offer this up to anyone that's listening to this podcast. Take your Strengths Finders assessment. Send your results to me. Scott@servicestarconsulting.com. I want to coach you. I want to work with you on your strengths. I'm offering this for a limited time only. So we're going to release this podcast. You got till the end of the year to get some time on my calendar. I want to talk about your strengths. I'd love to meet the people of the podcast, put some faces to some names that I see following us out there. And yeah, till the next time, we'll see you here at the Credit Union Leadership Podcast.
Feeling inspired? Want to learn how to coach your department to be a high-performing team? Vertex Live Nationwide is an 11-session live online group that meets bi-weekly. In this course, Scott and I are going to talk about delegation, how to resolve conflict, effective decision-making practices, and of course, how to coach your team for performance. Go ahead, move the movement, and sign up for Vertex Live Nationwide. Click the link in the show notes, and we're excited to see you there.